Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? Yeah? I love actually how Danny said, thanks, Josh, at the beginning that this isn't just another Sunday, or this is just another Sunday, but don't make it smaller than it is or bigger than it is. See, I don't know what brought you here today. Something about churches and starting, and people are like, oh, a public, yeah, it's going to be huge and crazy. And some of you just came to support us, so we're really appreciative of that. But I want to let you know, like, on a kind of to make it a little bit more serious, I don't think it's an accident you're here. Like you maybe came for a reason to support or just to check it out. We're not doing anything different than we normally would do on any other Sunday. We are starting a new series today that we're going to work through the month of February, and then we'll be in the book of James for quite a while after that. But again, wherever you are, whether you believe God is real, you've given your life to Jesus, or you just aren't sure about any of this whole church stuff, or you've just been burned by religiousness or church in general, I think that today, you showing up today, like, I think God used the fact that it's public as a way to get you here. Like, that was maybe, like, your reason for coming was actually kind of a play for God to get you here. And so my challenge today for you guys would be that as we begin this new series and we talk, let's lay down kind of the reasons why we decided to come, or if you're checking out, like, okay, I don't like how they set that up, or why does it say this, or you're kind of just, like, let go of all that. If you're trying to figure out, like, okay, if this is a church that God wants me to be a part of, like, let go of that. And let's just, if we can, I'm going to pray again, and when we're done praying, let's just kind of say, okay, God, one of the things that I would challenge you, if you'd say today, like, I'm not sure I believe in Jesus, I'm not sure I know who he is, or maybe I believe in a distant God, but I'm just not sure that Jesus is who he says he is. I challenge you, in the nicest way I possibly can, to utter these words when I'm praying, just to yourself. God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. If not today, very soon, I'm listening. And my challenge is that if you could truly set aside and just listen to kind of what we're going to talk about today, and not necessarily this, but just listen to him. I'm under the belief that he's going to wreak havoc on your life. Like, he's a God who loves, and he is about bringing more glory to himself. And I think, like, every single one of us, whether we believe in him or not, whether we're in a tight relationship with him right now, or we've kind of strayed, or we grew up early in church, whatever, I believe that God wants to say something specifically to you today, not because of anything I put together, but because I think he uses ploys like a public launch to get people's attention, just like you think he uses Easter and Christmas Eve and every other time that people try to go to church once in a while. So I'm going to pray, and let's start with a new series today, and we'll just go from there. God, thank you for today. Thank you for just singing about your love for each of us. God, there are so many people in this room that, whether they say they profess in you to believe in you or not, really struggle to believe in that love. God, your word tells us over and over and over again, the Bible tells us over and over and over again, that the love you have for us, the love you've shown through Jesus Christ, is greater than any love out there. And so, God, I pray as we get going today on this new series, God, that I would get out of the way, that, just your spirit would speak boldly through me, God, that you would allow the end of today, that you would just be opening the hearts of everyone, speaking directly to that person, talking to them, telling them your love for them, God, and challenging them to give themselves to you, to follow you with their lives, God. I thank you for this time, and just again pray that it would all be glorifying to you, and that again I would get out of the way, as I know I can easily get in the way of what you want to do. So God, I just pray for your spirit to do an amazing work in and through me, for your glory through everyone else today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, have you ever noticed how many options you have in life? Like think about this for a second. From the very, very, very instant when you can make a decision, like before you can even say a word, you can pick an option. Like, do you want the blue balloon or the yellow balloon? Like, you know, you kind of point, right? But option after option after option. Just think for a second. How many options did you have this morning? Right? Okay, do we take this car? Do we leave it this time? Do I eat this for breakfast? Do I go this way? Do I go to this church? Well, let's weigh the options, right? Like, everything is optional in life. We have option after option after option. In fact, I tried to think this week, like, back when was the first time I had an option that I needed to choose something or something else, or a day where I didn't have to make a choice on an option. Like, it was like I was just going through. Like, there was no optional route the way I was driving. There was no option for lunch, like hold the tomatoes or add the pickles, right? Or what other options. What house should we buy? How many bathrooms? We even get to the point now where it's like, okay, well, let's weigh the options to the options, right? Like, there are so many options in life. And it's not that options are bad, right? Like, an option is okay. It's like, who do we marry? And what am I going to do for work or go to school? But the problem with options is because we're so used to them is that we expect them. So I expect options in my life. Like, now if I get to a spot where there isn't an option, I'm kind of upset or mad about that. Like, I literally expect options. In fact, options have completely violated the way you and I make decisions. I mean, they have violated. Like, in fact, I can't even think of a time where you didn't make a decision that had options, right? And you weigh them down. And some people are really neurotic about this. And they're like, well, here's the good and here's the bad. And they kind of lay it out. But options have literally violated the way that we make decisions. In fact, options are so big in our life that they actually dictate the way you and I go. Let me push on this a little bit. Let me say why. Because if you're not sure that's true, most of the time you line yourself up with a friend. Think of your BFF, your best friend, right? Would you say that probably most of the things in your life, most of the options that you would say, this is not optional, meaning I am doing this, that you line up with your friend? I'm not saying you're exactly the same, but you choose the same stuff. Well, we enjoy doing this. This is, when it comes to options, I like spending my time this way. So does that person. So you line yourself up with that person. This is how social cliques begin early on in school. Like the person that views bathing as optional, right? Like, okay. If you don't view that as optional, you're probably not going to line yourself up with BFFs with that person. Or you're going to have a really good, tough conversation and say, time to bathe, dude. Right? Like, that's going to happen. Options dictate the way we go in our life. Options always do. Everything is optional. And no matter what, if there's something that you view as optional that someone else says isn't optional, and that's when they clash. Or vice versa. There's something that someone else says, this is optional, and you go, no, that is not optional. You have to do this. You have to do this. And when those clash, you either line up with them or without them, or you're just kind of indifferent to it. Let me use an example. Take underwear, for example. If I told you that I view underwear as optional, right? Every single way, I don't, guys, just so you know, you can rest easy, right? But every single one of you, if you've been faced with having to decide whether underwear is optional or not, you either went, right on, no underwear, woohoo, or ew, gross, what's wrong with you? Or the third one of, so that's just way too much information. Who cares? Great, thanks a lot. But see, the thing about this third one is you haven't had a chance or haven't been exposed to where it had to be one or the other. Right? You had, I won't go to the, never mind, underwear is a bad example. Don't need to go deeper there. Underwear is easy and small, but there are bigger things like politics, religion. Right, some of these things that, when you talk about lining up with people and clashing, I mean, there's like all-out fights. Honestly, probably most of the world's wars have been around those two things. Right, like people line up against each other and you clash. You either line with or against, or you're just indifferent. And if it's a big issue, if it's a big thing that's either optional or not, you kind of swing even further. Like, you're either really with it, you'll fight for it, or you'll just fight against it. But see, the problem is, what happens when things aren't optional? See, our life's so inundated with options that when there isn't an option to something, our reaction to it is usually not good. Like, take stripping at the airport and security, right? Like, I don't like to do that. Does anyone get excited about, oh, yeah, you take the belt and the shoes and everything else off? No one gets excited, but we have to do it. See, because we're so used to options, like, here's one that's really annoying to me. If you ever need help at a call center, I've used this as an example. You guys know I have anger issues. But if you call a center and you listen to the options, and what you need, none of those are that number. So you hit 0, and it says, I'm sorry, you hit the wrong button. Operator, I'm sorry. It's like, 0000, come on. Like, the fact that there isn't an option for me to go there is frustrating. Right? When we're met with no option, we kind of feel like freedoms have been taken away. Like taxes. You shouldn't view them as optional, right? Most of us don't. If you do, then you'll probably get found out later on. But they're not optional. It's not like I get excited about taxes. I mean, maybe if you're going to get money, that's great. But it's not like, yay, I get to do taxes this year. my life's around that. Now, maybe some people work in taxes. Anyways, never mind. Sorry if I offended you there. But what do we do when we come across something that we say isn't optional, but someone shows an option to it? What do we do when I say I have an outcome, a desire to go somewhere? This is what my life, and I'm not talking airport or underwear. I'm talking something big, like a core belief. What do we do if I say this isn't optional, and all of a sudden someone comes in with an option? And that's what we're going to talk about. Let me use an example. Marriage. Jen and I are married and been married 6 years this month, right? That, when I stood up on the altar, I said, till death do we part. I said, I will love you and be married to you till death do we part. Now, when we were standing there, I was basically saying that this marriage isn't optional, meaning I am going to be married to her until I die. Now, when an option comes that could interfere with me saying that my marriage isn't optional, like a girl starts flirting with me or I get an opportunity to spend a bunch of time away from her, that moment right there defines whether or not I believe my marriage is optional or not. Does that make sense? So similar to healthy lifestyles. If I view that living a healthy lifestyle is not optional, but I eat a bacon cheeseburger every single day, then I've just said that I don't really believe that living a healthy lifestyle isn't optional. I say it is optional because I can live an unhealthy lifestyle. Right? So, but here's the thing. When we are faced, when the line comes at something at marriage for me or a family man, if I want to be this great dad, but yet, and I say it's not optional, my girls are going to see me here all the time and they're going to know I love them, but I spend all my time at work, I've just said that being a great dad is an option. It's optional. It's one of the options, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what happens when our core belief, something you believe, your marriage or your religion, what happens when you stake a claim, this is not optional? What happens when an option comes to you? I think one of three things happen. You end up in one of three groups, okay? And we're going to talk about them today. The dedicated group, the distracted group, or the doubtful group. Let me just use this as an example for marriage before we get into it. If I am dedicated to my marriage, then just it lasting isn't enough, right? Just saying, oh, I was married, that's great. No, dedication is I'm going to put energy into it. I'm going to grow this marriage. I'm going to try and spend my time loving Jen because I view that my marriage ending is not an option. It is not optional. I will love and be married to Jen for the rest of my life. So I'm either dedicated to that, which means when an option comes along, a girl flirting with me, it's not even an option. I don't even see it as an option. I stop it right there. Or this job, I can take it, but it's going to mean I'm going to be gone 7/8 of the year. No, it's not an option because I can't do that to my marriage. If I'm distracted, then I look like I'm dedicated to my marriage. But really, I'm just waiting for a better option. See, I can say, yep, till death do we part. Or if another option comes along. See, the distracted group, this is the group that really wants to believe till death do we part. But when it gets hard, they give up. When the options are just too many, they throw in the towel. And they go the other way. And then there's the doubtful group. And the doubtful is someone that would say from the beginning, yeah, I don't even know why I said till death do I part, because I don't really believe that. Like, I'm going to try, but if it doesn't work out, it's okay. But, you know, whatever, it'll make us happier, whatever it may be, whatever example, whatever you're saying isn't optional. If you're doubtful about that, then you're like, okay, whatever, if it ends, no big deal. There's probably a better option out there or more important things for me anyways. And so you're just doubtful of that. So what we're going to look at these next few weeks are the things that we may view in the way we live our lives as optional, but God says isn't. Things that practically the way I live, I'm living like it's an option, but God's word, the Bible tells me very specifically, nope, that's not an option. And what happens is when those two clash, we line up in one of those three groups. See, and the first thing we have to remember is because we are inundated, don't lose sight of the fact we're so used to options, a lot of times we'll stick in the wrong of those three groups just because there isn't an option. Because we get mad, like the airport. Like, I have to do this, but whatever, I'll do it begrudgingly. Like, we will make choices to go a direction that we don't want to just because there isn't an option. You know, some people say, you know, the freedom is lost when there isn't an option. My hope is that today I can get out of the way. The Spirit of God will help each of us understand what the one thing we're talking about today is, whether or not it is optional. And that our lives would line up with what God says in that. Not just our words, but our lives would line up in that. So today we're going to talk about Jesus. And is Jesus optional? But we've got to talk about an outcome. Because see, I think if we don't talk about the outcome, you don't really understand it. Like, let's say the outcome is for us, how do I get to God? Or how do I go to heaven? Or how do I get to the kingdom of God? Or how am I to call myself a Christian? Okay, now no matter where you line up, if you don't believe in God or not, I'm going to assume that if you're here, you can't just hang your hat and say, nope, there's no God. Like there's maybe, and maybe you're not, and like I said at the beginning, I hope you prayed that. I hope you asked God to reveal himself to you. But if you're here, my assumption is that you can't shake the thought or the feeling that there might be something bigger than just this. Right? There might be a God, and if there is a God, then how in the world would I get to that God? And see, there are a lot of beliefs on this example. There are a lot of beliefs on how to get to God. In fact, there are a lot of religions on how to get to God. And all of the religions, every single religion that's out there hinges on Jesus. Meaning you either believe he is who he was, or you don't. And let me come here and say, well, wait, some people believe in him, but they do. If it's Jesus plus something, then you don't believe that it's Jesus. So it's either Jesus or nothing. And all the religions kind of line up across him. So what we're going to talk about today, is Jesus optional? If I want to go to heaven, or if I want to be with God, if I want to be able to bear the name and say, I'm a Christian, I believe, I'm a follower of Jesus, whatever it is, what do I have to do? And in that, is Jesus optional? So if there is a God in heaven, what options do I need to take now to get there? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John 14:6. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one underneath the chair. If you don't own a Bible, feel free to take that. John 14:6. This is actually Jesus that's speaking here, and one of the four accounts of Jesus speaking. There are four different accounts of him in this verse. And what he's doing is he just got asked, how do we get to the kingdom of heaven? So literally, how do we get to God? And then they followed up with like, I want to see God more of it. But Jesus' answer here. So this is Jesus, John 14:6. How do we get to the kingdom of God? His disciples ask him. Jesus says to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that's a really huge statement, really big statement. And it's Jesus himself saying it. So before you instantly set up and say, yep, I believe that, cool, check. Or that's just ridiculous, that's so closed-minded. There's no way that can be. Before you get there, let's just look at what Jesus is saying specifically before we actually just assume that we're lined up with that. He's saying three things. He's saying, I'm the way. Isaiah 35:8 says, and a highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. What Jesus is saying when he says he's the way, he's saying to have access to God, we get that by obeying what Jesus says. We get that by obeying what his word tells us we're to do. We get that by imitating his life that he lived while here on earth. He's the way. So he's literally talking, and honestly, it's an obedience thing. The way to get to God is to obey Jesus. Obedience. He's also saying he's the truth. The life of Jesus is the truth, not a truth, but the truth. And this is really big. People go relative truth or absolute truth. What he says, he's the truth. Jesus says that all the words that have been spoken by the prophets, all the stuff you see in the Bible, it's hinged on me. I'm the truth. It's about me. He says he's the truth. And the last one he says is he's the life. John 11:25 says for you, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, that believe is give yourself to him, will live even if he dies. What Jesus is saying is eternal life, it comes to us through belief in him, what he has done for us. I'm the way, obey me. I'm the truth. What I say is the truth. There isn't any other option out there. There isn't another truth. This isn't half truth. This isn't part truth. I'm the truth, and I'm the life. If you want eternal life, I'm it. Because of what he did for us on the cross, his sacrifice for us. He's the life. And then the last sentence is the one that he says that I think gets all of us to clench a fist. It says, no one comes to the Father except through me. To come to the Father is to obtain his favor, to be able to approach his throne in prayer, and finally to enter into his kingdom is what Jesus is talking about. So Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to get to God, if you want eternal life, it's through me. There's no other way. God makes him the mediator for all. It's only, we are sinful. It's only by his work on the cross that we're forgiven. Jesus is telling us that he isn't optional. How does that sit with our optional lives? Remember, we talked about we're so ingrained with having options. We're just met with something that isn't optional. You're going to line up one of three ways. But before you do that, shake the flags that come up of, wait. Everything in life has an option. If it doesn't have an option, I usually go the other way. Or shake the, this is way too close-minded. This doesn't seem fair. Jesus just said he's better than all other religions. Jesus said he's the only way. That just doesn't seem right. You gotta lay that down for a second so we can figure out which three groups you're in. Which of the three groups you're in? Because, see, Jesus is saying he isn't optional. And this isn't one of those messages that everyone's like, yay, that's great. That really puts peace in everyone's heart. No, it actually polarizes people. And right now, some of you in here are looking for the quickest way to get out, but because we pack so many seats, you're just thinking you might well sit it out. Look on Facebook or something. I don't know. So one of three groups, dedicated to that, distracted or doubtful. Which three are you? Which one are you of those three? See, the dedicated, now what the dedicated would say when they hear that is, yeah, right on. Jesus is the only way. I am dedicated. This is those that profess to follow Christ and their lives show it. This isn't just a word. This is an action in life. This is those, not perfect. Let me get you right, like right now, we're all going to mess up. We're all going to mess up even if we're dedicated to this. But this is those of us in the room, when we say we're dedicated to this, is, yeah, there is no other option to Jesus. When someone comes along and says, well, what about this option? It's not even worth an argument because in your mind, he isn't optional. You've already made that decision. You've staked the claim. That's it. This is it. Jesus is not optional. Allowing his spirit to lead our lives. See, Jesus says, or 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ controls us. Some translations say compels, controls. See, right now, this is a really good way to know if you're dedicated. The thought of being controlled instantly may put some flags up like, oh, what am I, a robot? No, it's his love that compels me, controls me to do what he wants me to do. Because of his love for me, I am going that way. Dedicated don't wrestle with that as much. Again, not perfect. We don't have all the answers. But knowing that there is no other option, there isn't even a close second to Jesus. He's not optional. Are you dedicated? Would you line yourself up with that? When Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through him, would you say, yep, that's me? Would those around you say, yep, that's him or her? The second group is the distracted. These are those, it looks a lot like the dedicated. These are those that profess to follow Christ, but practically live as though he isn't there. Those that say, yep, I'm a Christian because I go to church on Sunday and I do these good things. But when it comes down to certain things, all of a sudden Jesus is optional. Because again, remember, Jesus said, obey my way. So when it comes down to, yeah, and this is, just before all of you leave thinking, great, I'm distracted and I'm not a follower of Christ. I'm not talking about a mistake or a slip up. Or we all have flesh that have these desires to do opposite of what God calls us to do. We're all going to make mistakes. I'm talking about that one thing. There's that one thing, that addiction, that relationship, where when you meet with Jesus' way and you say, no, Jesus isn't optional, but I really like that person. And so I'm going to keep staying in this relationship. I'm going to keep doing that. Even though Jesus tells me differently. This is the distracted group. The people that believe he is who he says he wants because they want something from him. Remember, because options make it about me. They want the outcome of eternal life. They want it's almost like a security blanket of knowing, yes, I'll go to heaven. But when it comes to actually living for him, practically, it just depends on who you're around. Right? With these friends, I'm this way. With this family, I'm this way. Look, distracted is one of those things. And honestly, the thing that drives me crazy is that for me and for all of us, it's usually one thing. You can say it and you're like, oh, it's that one thing. I'm addicted to this. I can't give Jesus this. I know what he says to do. I know what the Bible tells me, but I can't give it to him. Then you can't say that Jesus isn't optional. Right? If you know the one that knows what they do and do the opposite, there's a word for that. It's hypocrite. And I've been there, guys. Titus 1:16 says, they profess to know God, but they deny him by his works, by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Are you here? Is this how you've been treating this claim of Jesus? Are you distracted? The third group's a doubtful group. Those of you in here are just saying, I can't say it. Jesus is optional. I cannot say that I will give my life to Jesus because I don't believe in this, or I don't like this, or I don't line up. You just basically say, I doubt it. I'm doubtful. That seems really close-minded. Seems like all the freedoms of life are stripped away. And honestly, doubtful, a lot of them look a lot like distracted. The difference is the doubtful people are honest about where they're at. Right? A lot of it looks the same. Because just, although they may, if you say, I doubt God, I would give God my life, but to do that, I have to give up this. I know he's going to take this way. And I'm not saying, like, just so you guys know, I'm not saying you fix yourself and then come to God. No, that's the work of his spirit inside of you. What I'm saying is you're afraid that you know if you say this, that you're going to have to give up the addiction to porn at some point or to alcohol or that this relationship is not a good relationship. You feel like the freedoms are being stripped away. This doubtful group are people that just say, you know, whether it was because of hypocrisy in the church early on, whatever your reason is to say that Jesus isn't the only way, I want to push a little bit on that. Just a little. See, I think, let's talk about the freedoms for a second first. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. See, Jesus tells us that in him is true freedom. That if we're giving ourselves to other things in this world, then we're actually slaves. It's backwards, I get that, and I know that's hard to wrap around your head, but let's push a little bit. If you're doubting Jesus, can I just ask, are you really rejecting Jesus? Are you rejecting the idea that there isn't another option? Are you rejecting Jesus, or are you rejecting the thought that you might lose freedoms? Are you rejecting Jesus, or is it just that you think it's too close-minded and you're worried that people will think you're just like everyone else, better than thou or higher or some elitist group? Are you really rejecting Jesus? Or are you rejecting the idea of some false way you saw him in the past because of someone like me making a mistake in my life, showing you the exact opposite of who Jesus is? What are you rejecting? What are you doubtful to? What questions do you still have? And are those questions, literally strip away, you're ingrained with options. Every single one of us are so ingrained and expected to have options. Jesus isn't asking us to give ourselves our life to him like we would do stripping at the airport, begrudgingly or out of duty. No, he's telling, dedicate yourself to me. What do you need? If you doubt Jesus, what do you need to dedicate yourself to him? Where are you at with Jesus? Is he still optional in your life? Can you say you're dedicated to him? If not, what do you need to give up? What do you need to let go of? again, this isn't a matter, this isn't a message of you fixing yourself so that you can come be with Jesus. That is all him. That is all his work. Nothing we can do on our own accord. If you're distracted, meaning your life, you say, yes, I am, I believe Jesus, and when I'm around these friends, or when I'm at my community group, or when I'm at church on Sunday, man, I live it, but every other time, I just can't live it. Why? What is it? Is it really that Jesus is the issue, or is it that you haven't really believed that he is an optional? God says, and it says his grace is sufficient. What I don't want you to do is leave here beat up going, I'm a failure at loving the God who loves me so much. If you can say honestly, I'm distracted. Praise God that you can. But his grace is sufficient. It says that his grace overflows. His grace is lavished on us. We can't even fathom how much grace that is. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long it's been. His grace is sufficient for you. Jesus isn't optional. That's where I stand, and by his grace, I hope that I live it out practically. So what do you say? Is Jesus optional? My hope for all of you is that you'd face that question. Strip away whatever inside of you wrestles with the fact that he just said he's the only way, and actually get to the root of that question. Is Jesus the only way? And not worry about no options, and not worry about freedoms or what may have to happen afterwards, but just get to that question and dedicate yourself to it. Dedicate yourself to living in his ways, in his truth, the absolute truth. Because of his life that was given for us on the cross. So we could live for him and give him all the glory. The band's going to come up and we're going to sing a little bit more. But before we get into that, if you want prayer, we have this really dedicated prayer team that actually we did a prayer walk all downtown. A little over 50 people showed up. It was awesome. But what we're going to do is this room is really compact and tight, and I understand that sometimes it's a little weird to get up and go ask for prayer. So we're going to ask them just kind of stand over here, some of the prayer team. And if you want prayer during the worship, just go over there. They'll take you out in the hallway or whatever and pray with you. If maybe there's something that you've been distracted, and there is that something, like when I say that something you're not willing to give up, one of the things is that a lot of times if we're distracted, we might be deceived, right? And God calls us to community. We're going to talk about that some more. But people to pray with is such a freeing and liberating thing. When you call to light the darkness, it's amazing what God can do in your heart. And if you just maybe have been doubtful and you just want to ask some questions, they're here, and afterwards they'll be up front as well. But don't miss the opportunity to answer this question in your life. I hope that it just haunts you. Like, I hope you can't shake. Is your life is Jesus optional in your life? Let me pray for us. Father, you are not optional by your own accord, God. And I know that that just can make all of us pucker up and get a little feisty. Father, I pray right now that you would define in us, that we wouldn't try and figure out, but you would define in us by your Spirit whether we're dedicated to you, God. God, or distracted. And if we're doubtful, God, if there's those that are here that are just not sure they can say that, God, I pray that you would just draw them to you. God, I pray that you would help them not be able to shake the, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me today. If not today, soon, I am listening. God, I pray that that would just echo over and over and over in their heads. God, that you would just show yourself to them. Father, for those that have been in here that would say they're distracted, praise God. You want a repentant heart. You want people to understand that your grace is sufficient for whatever we've done, no matter how long it's been, no matter what facade we put on, God. God, there's freedom in letting go of the bondage of slavery of anything in this world, God. There's freedom in only you. And so I pray, God, as we are singing here, God, that if someone realizes they do need prayer, God, that they would at least write it down, but even more so, God, that they would just take steps and action right now and go pray. God, that you would draw them to you. Father, I thank you for this time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.